Federal News
Radio.
This
paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And it was a lot of fun on technology this week, as always is. I'll talk about how technology has impacted some of the wars around the world. Talk about technology intensifying at the Gaza war, how they're using social media. We'll also talk a little bit about popcorn. Popcorn is actually, it's like Netflix, but for pirated movies.
Ah.
And I'm surprised that there's going to be support for that in Apple's AirPlay.
Huh.
And I think this is probably going to lead to another type of distribution of content ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting to watch these trends as they come up. We also are going to be talking about something that NIST had released a couple of years ago. What is cloud computing? Because everybody talks about it, but half the people that talk about it don't even know what it is. So I thought I'd give the actual official definition as published by NIST in their publication 800-145. But it'll be a fun presentation,
okay.
Not like a boring presentation.
Okay.
And of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
Giant.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, yes.
We kicked his butt last week.
I tell you, he's much
and
better.
He's back.
He's much
he's back.
Better. Yeah, I think he's, you dock his pay a little bit. He gets his attention.
He wouldn't be here if we didn't have faith in him.
Yep, that's right.
But every so often, like all talent, he needs a little bit of
yes.
reinforcement.
Yes.
Okay, all right, sorry.
We got an email from Daniel in Fairfax. Dear Tech Talk, please talk about getting a job in technology. I love the program, but I'm not I love two programs, sorry.
I probably love the program, too.
I love to program, but I'm not having much success sending out resumes. I've tried different formats on the resumes. Nothing seems to work. Perhaps you'd give me some guidance as to what to do next. Thanks, Daniel in Fairfax. Well, Daniel, we need to step back. Your whole approach is wrong.
Uh-oh.
What you want to do is I recommend you read the book by Dick Bowles, What Color's Your Parachute? This actually is a very excellent text because it forces you to ask some very fundamental questions of who you are, what you like to do. It helps you figure out the things that are most interesting to you. And it talks about a very excellent method for getting a job. It doesn't really advocate sort of the resume flooding technique. It recommends more of getting a job through your connections and your networking. And so it recommends that you get referrals, what they call informational interviews, where you get advice from people. And people are always willing to give advice. They just feel uncomfortable if you ask them for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not job-seeking interviews. These are informational interviews. And the goal is you try to figure out something about the field, try to figure out what maybe trends in programming, where you might want to go, and this informational interviewing process ultimately gives you a repertoire of knowledge about companies that allows you to craft how you could help them solve a problem. And ultimately, when you go through this process, you'll begin to see where companies might have a problem, and you could propose to do something that would solve their problem. So instead of you asking them, what kind of job do you have for me? You're saying, this is what I could do for you.
Sure.
Then you're in the top 2% of people. So that's kind of the philosophy on What Color's Your Parachute. Now you can expand your contacts by joining user groups. And when you're technology, they got Oracle user groups, .NET user groups, Java user groups, whatever your interest is, join user groups and don't go there to get a job, go there to help. So when they set up their meetings, volunteer to man the desk, do the coffee, just be there because you're working with professionals in the field. So if you're part of a member, if you're a member of a users group, you've already elevated yourself as being part of the profession. You're not a job seeker, you're actually part of the profession. Now, what you don't want to do is go around and start asking everybody for a job. Nobody will want to talk to you. So you just contribute to the user group. And then here's the key. Work on projects. So, you know, if you're interested in .NET, start working on a .NET project. You could work on a web development project. Work on a project. Work on an Oracle application project. And when you go to the users group, talk about your project, what you're doing on the project, how you and how excited you are and why you love to do this. All of a sudden, people say, you know, that guy, look how excited. He just loves to program. Look at him. He's great. And then pretty soon people say, you know, there may be an opportunity at my company. It's not really a job that's opened up yet, but I kind of like your attitude. I like your can-do deal. So even if you don't know how to do it, you ask questions, you just jump in and do it. You can sort of show that you just have a passion for it, and that's what employers really like to see. And then the next thing, you could also attend local conferences and meetings. You want to start acting like you're already a professional even before you are hired. And then you really want to subscribe to industry publications. I call them industry rags. You know, they give you all the scuttlebutt, what's going on, so you've got something to talk about. So if you do all of these processes, you will end up with a job, and you'll stand out because 98% of the people do the resume blasts. Mm-hmm. 2% or maybe less than 1% do this other technique. And this method in What Color's Your Parachute is what we teach our graduates at the Stratford University to do. We have our whole career services, you know, with a whole What Color's Your Parachute process that you go through, helping our students go through the process. So we know it works. We've implemented it at Stratford, and that would be my recommendation for you. That was a great question, yes. Daniel. We got an email from Rich in Richmond. Dear Tech Talk, I bought a new computer just a year ago, and now it crashes at random times. What could be wrong with it? Love the show, Rich in Richmond. Well, that's sort of discouraging. You got a new computer and it starts crashing.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich, the most common cause of random crashes of a computer is actually overheating. Now, the most common cause of overheating might be blocked airflow through the computer or maybe a failed fan. Now, your computer's processor, the hard drive, and other components all generate heat. And if that heat's not removed, the components become hot. They function improperly, and they cause a crash. Now, particularly, this can happen to laptops, you know, because there are actually vents on the bottom. So if you put the laptop, say, on your lap, you block the vents, it's going to overheat. That's why you want to have your laptop sitting on a desk. That's why they've got the little feet underneath it so that air can pass through it. And so you always want to make certain your laptop has the proper airflow. And so that could be one of the reasons. Now, desktop machines are also vulnerable to this thing. You could have hairs, they got a filter, you know, they could clog the air vents. So it's worth unplugging your computer, looking inside, and just taking a little blower or vacuum and just sucking out all that stuff that could be in there. I doubt whether you've got that after only a year, though, but that's what I do, especially on the other ones. Now, hardware, yes?
You know, I've actually read stories where people who have been using their laptops in bed, had it sitting on the mattress or, you know, on top of the covers, have started a fire because they've blocked that airflow underneath of the machine.
They get hot.
Yeah, they sure do.
They get very hot. Now, over the years, I've had hardware failures over the years. I've had RAM failures. This is the random access memory, RAM failures. And so sometimes you'll have one bad spot of RAM, and you don't use it that often, but occasionally it just stores something at that point, and then your computer fails. And so I downloaded some software that would actually scan the RAM and look for bad RAM segments. And I found one time a SIM card had bad RAM in it. I replaced it, and then that solved the problem. Mm-hmm. I doubt whether that's your problem, but that is if it's not the heating issue, then that's where I would look next. Hard drives can also have a problem. Over the years, I once had a hard drive that had a bad sector on it, and occasionally I'd try to read something from that sector, and it would hang up and then crash. And so, you can do it. You can basically do a scan on your hard drive, and you can basically look for bad sectors, and you can move data from a bad sector area and just sort of block it out so it's not used again. So those would be the that would be the next level. Now, what about software? That could be an issue. Usually if your computer's just hanging up, frequently it's going to be a device driver that's not written properly. because that's low-level programming, and if there's some kind of bug or unexpected error, it just everything just crashes. So if you've recently added any hardware or you've upgraded the drivers for any hardware, you might want to check if there's another update. You might look at the company where the driver update came from to see if there are any issues, or you might go to the you might reverse that and go to the previous driver. So that's those are the things that I would look at, because I doubt if it's not going to be something other than that, because mm-hmm. because your machine is actually so new. But that was a great email, Rich. And
yep.
Listen, we love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. We'll get back to you on the air, or else I might answer your email directly.
There you go. This is a Saturday morning, and you're listening to Tech Talk on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, Federal News Radio. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
So glad he got shoveled
yes.
out.
Yes, and today we're going to be talking about Stephen McConnell Case. Stephen McConnell Case is best known as co-founder and former CEO and chairman of America Online.
I thought I've heard of him.
Yeah, people just call him Steve Case.
Steve Case,
normally.
You know, the McConnell part. You don't
they don't
normally...
call him Stephen McConnell Case.
This is kind of like a crime show. You identify
That's
everybody
right.
with three names.
Stephen McConnell
John Wayne
Case.
Gacy.
Yeah, they call him. Steve Case was born August 21st, 1958 in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ah.
It's quite the nice location there.
Yes,
I know
it
we're
is.
Hawaii 5-0. Now, Case graduated from Punahou School in 1976. Maybe it could be Punahou School in 1976. And then he went on to Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and graduated there in 1980. So he got his bachelor with a degree in political science.
Ooh.
He got that degree in 4 years. Now, then he went on. He didn't go to graduate school. He just wanted to start making bucks right away.
Uh-huh.
So he worked 2 years as an assistant brand manager for Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati, Ohio. In 1982, he joined Pizza Hut in Wichita,
wow.
Kansas, and he served as manager for new pizza marketing.
Who'd have thunk there were all these new pizzas out there, right?
You never though. Okay.
Exactly.
Now he only worked at Pizza Hut for about a year. I guess he decided
maybe
that,
that's why
that wasn't for him. So in January 1983, he was hired as a marketing consultant for the Control Video Corporation. Now the company was marketing a service called GameLine for
Atari 2600
video game console, and it allowed you to download games via something really new. You dial up with the modem and you download the game.
Oh wow!
It's really hot
high
technology.
Tech back then.
Yeah. Well, back then, 1983, that was hot technology.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody even knew what a modem was
mm-hmm.
back then.
It'd take all week to download the program.
Okay. Now he was hired as a marketing consultant in 1983. The next year, the company went nearly bankrupt.
They were ahead of their time. That was a problem, right?
They were going down the tank right away. Now, Frank Caulfield was one of the investors, and he said, I can't lose all my money here. I got to bring this thing back to life. Mm-hmm. So he brought in Jim Kimsey as a manufacturing consultant, and then he hired Case full-time as a marketing employee. So he thought, okay, I got some guy handling manufacturing, some guy marketing employee. Now, they were limping along here with this game line in the Video Control Corporation, but it never really went anywhere. So in 1985, Case helped found the Quantum Computer Services, which was an online service company, and it was built out of the remnants of the Control Video Company.
How about that?
So he just sort of drove that into the ground, and then he hopped over here to Quantum Computer Services. Now, Jim Kimsey was the CEO of Quantum Computer Services, and Kimsey then promoted Case to Vice President of Marketing of the Quantum Computer Services. In 1987, Kimsey went Case once again to Executive Vice President of Quantum Computer Services. Kimsey was grooming Case to take over when he retired. So I guess he was planning to retire. I mean, he wasn't really in that long, but I guess he wanted to retire. And the transition formally took place in 1991 when Case became CEO of the Quantum Computer Services. And in 1995, he became chairman of Quantum Computer Services. Now, as part of Quantum, it turns out that Quantum also was developing a number of other products, too. Now, as part of the changes that gave birth to Quantum, Case changed the company's strategy. He said, you know, this Atari game download is probably not going to make a whole company for us.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started Quantum Link, Q-Link for short, and you could download applications to the Commodore 6400. Now, he started the Q-Link in 1985. He did that with a programmer that he later co-founded AOL with, Mark Sharif. In 88, Quantum began offering Apple Link that allowed Apple computers to download applications, and then it offered PC Link that allowed IBM-compatible computers to download applications. And then he got the idea. He says, wait a minute here. Why don't I bring all these links together under one umbrella? So he changed the name of the company to America Online.
Never heard of it.
and he brought all the Apple and the PC and the Commodore downlinks together. And he then created a new idea. People could then use dial-up, which he became a specialist in dial-up, use dial-up to basically chat online. So he set up basically a global chat service with America Online. And by 1994, it reached 1 million subscribers. And if you remember back in the beginning, AOL was not really hooked into the Internet. People would just log on, and there would be chat groups.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd pay so much a minute to chat. And they made a huge amount of money because it became like an online dating service. And people just find somebody they'd want to chat with, and they would just burn up the hours chatting online, paying by the minute. And they were making a killing. They were up to 1 million customers in 1994. Now, after a decade of quick growth, AOL merged with Time Warner. See, the problem is, later on, AOL hooked up to the Internet. And then people could dial into AOL and get on the Internet. But then pretty soon people said, wait a minute here. Why don't I just get broadband and go straight to the Internet without AOL? So AOL was having trouble holding on to their customers, and they were trying to meet the threat of broadband. That was a huge threat to the dial-up service of AOL. So in order to meet that threat, Case got the idea. He said, look, if I team up with Time Warner, maybe we could do something really good because we've got the Internet locked up. Time Warner's got the content. Maybe together we could create something and capitalize on broadband. And we could create content online that people would come to us using broadband, and we could do a big transition. So they merged in January of 2000, and it was a $164 billion merger. But it quickly ran into trouble as the dot-com recession occurred.
Yep.
And then what happened was, as soon as they merged, when AOL was at this peak price and they got this sweetheart deal with Time Warner, the AOL prices just crashed. Mm. And there were all sorts of, you know,
all sorts of accusations of accounting scandals. Maybe AOL was artificially priced up higher, this and that. And ultimately, you know, Case stayed on with Warner and AOL for a while, but he resigned as chairman of AOL in January of 2003. After the sale, and then but he remained on the company's board of directors for another three more years, and he just rode the stock prices down.
Oh my!
Now I was watching. It's been 10 years since the merger.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2000. That's 2010. Steve Case was on Squawk Box, this is MSNBC,
right.
And so he was interviewed on Squawk Box. He's still defending the merger. He's saying it was the correct vision. He said AOL had the internet market, but they didn't have the content. Time Warner had the content, but didn't have the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Then Time Warner also had broadband because they had all these cable companies. So he said it made sense to bring AOL's internet expertise combined with Time Warner's broadband and content expertise. And so he said the vision was correct, but he said the implementation was poorly executed. They never really brought together the two companies. And the reason for that was there were different cultures.
Yeah.
One was the traditional media culture, and the other was the go-go high-tech culture.
Right.
And they tried to bring these people together. They couldn't communicate.
Yeah.
So it ended up that AOL ended up just being like a subsidiary of Time Warner. And they never really integrated them to get the power and the synergy of the two approaches. So he said, a good vision poorly executed really doesn't lead to anything, and it didn't lead to anything.
Now, do you have time for a short sidebar? Oh, no, you're not quite finished yet.
I've got a short
story. Jim Kimsey, did you know he was a local guy?
No, I didn't know
that. Yeah, he is. He was born here, grew up in South Arlington, went to Gonzaga and St. John's.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is an interesting thing. So it's all a local. See, AOL's
AOL really, is out of Dulles.
AOL's kind of a local company.
Yeah.
Now he has now formed a company called Revolution Limited Liability Corporation, Revolution.com. He formed that in April 2005 when he got off the board of directors of Time Warner. And Revolution is actually a holding company in multiple consumer product markets like health, financial services, resorts, living, and digital media, all aimed at the consumer. And he's trying to make the world of the consumer easier with the various products that they're offering. And so they're basically starting companies or funding small companies as kind of a venture capital firm, and then they're holding them. Now, he's also chairman of the Case Foundation, which he and his wife created in 1997. Also, if you want to follow Stephen McConnell Case, he has a Facebook account and a Twitter account.
How about that?
And he's quite active on Twitter. So you just do Steve Case Twitter, Steve Case Facebook.
You have to put the McConnell part in there. You don't need that part.
You don't really need the McConnell part. Nobody knows of that.
That's like
a name. So Steve actually was a visionary, but he sort of got the I remember when AOL first went on the internet, because you had all these technical people. Like, I was sort of a nerdy kind of guy. I downloaded my own protocol stack, and I was on the internet, and I was playing around on the internet. And you had all these unwashed masses on AOL, so to speak. And all of the, all of the arrogant nerdy guys were, like, always making fun of AOL people. And then when AOL opened up their portal from AOL to the internet, all the unwashed masses were let in. And you should have seen all of the complaints, because all the discussion boards, people would show up, they wouldn't know anything. Mm-hmm. They start asking questions. And there was
quite
a bit of dissension between the AOL community and the non-AOL community at the time. Now, that's all gone away now, and everybody's just one big happy family. But I remember the weekend when AOL unleashed their unwashed masses on the internet, and it just created a huge traffic jam.
Much to your horror and chagrin, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, indeed.
Well, for Hawaii native Stephen McConnell Case, we have the Hawaii 5-0 theme to
okay.
take us to the break here.
Very
you're,
good.
You're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM. The forum's open. Go to techtalkonline.com and click on the forum button. Chat with us there. Remember this number you're going to need it very shortly for the pop quiz, 877-936-9333. Stand by. More in a moment.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn by doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Church. It's this guy right here.
And I would be that aforementioned guy right here. My name is Jim Ross. I'm the adjunct professor for messing things up and lowering the academic bar here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. We just got finished talking about Steve Case, the co-founder and former CEO and chairman of AOL, America Online. In 1982, Steve Case joined this company. If you can tell me what company he joined in 1982, not long after he left college, you'll win today's version of the pop quiz, which will entitle you to tickets for two for fine dining, free dining at the Escafia at Stratford University on the campus in Falls Church, or at Cafe Karim on the campus in Woodbridge. And of course, you need to get that answer to me quickly by calling the following 10 digits in the proper order. If you're calling from west of Honolulu, Hawaii, it's 877-936-9333. If you're calling from east of Williamstown, Massachusetts, 877-936-9333. And of course, if you're calling from anywhere else, it's 877-936-9333. Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor for crowd control and prize distribution, standing by to take your calls here on the Pop Quiz on Federal News Radio.
Popcorn Time adds AirPlay support. Now, let's talk about what popcorn is. Okay, you remember torrents? These are basically how you download illegal MP3 files, and you download these torrents, and there were a lot of them out there. Well, popcorn is the Netflix for torrents. In other words, how can you download the latest movie, the latest pirated movie, and watch it through popcorn? And it was just a few weeks after Popcorn Time announced that it had added support for Google Chromecast. The torrent streaming platform introduced support for AirPlay too, so you could play it through Apple TV. I mean, this is an interesting development. I hope that the movie manufacturers find a way to work with Popcorn so that they can get a revenue stream out of this, because they're not going to stop it. Mm-hmm. So they ought to join it, and because it's the way that they did it with the MP3s actually failed. They need to find a way to handle this. So I'm not really advocating piracy, but I think this way of delivering content is really quite nice. Now, Popcorn Time is a cross-platform movie and TV show streaming service that beams out torrents, which a torrent is like a stream, which is an on-demand stream. When you want it, it comes to you. It's an on-demand stream. It's like Netflix, except it's peer-to-peer and offers much more content and has questionable legality.
Now, popcorn time shows no signs of slowing down, and it just when it added torrents that support AirPlay. The movie industry is pushing hard against the rise of torrent sites in recent years, but popcorn shows no signs of slowing down. See, what happens is that the content is distributed over all kinds of different services, not just at one location, so they have trouble shutting it down. I wish they would find a way to deal with these guys, because if you'd get it like on a subscription basis or something, it may be at the right price point that people would go for it. Now, it's available for PC, Mac, Android. Popcorn Time likes to say they are Hollywood's worst nightmare. And many of the most recent releases stream free to your desktop, mobile, or TV. AirPlay is restricted to the Windows app for now, although the Mac app will provide support shortly. And I wonder what, I bet Apple doesn't like the fact that this is going on with
probably
their machines.
Probably not, or, no.
Android apps are available, but only if you have a jail, and you can only use it on an iPhone if the phone is jailbroken.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, Apple did not approve this app for their phone.
Well, you know, these guys are going up against big business. Don't you think at some point they're going to get shut down, right?
Well, you would think so, but they never shut down the torrents for the MP3.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is these servers get distributed all over the world. I'm thinking they should try to join them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than because this is going to be a tough thing to fight. So I would hope they would take a different technique in dealing with this to try to get under control.
It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And technology is really impacting how the war is being fought in Gaza. It's being used by both the Israelis as well as Hamas. And it's impacting, how things are going on. There are apps. They're using Twitter, they're using YouTube, propaganda videos, they're using blogs, Facebook, and Google+. Let's look at some of the specific applications. More than 750,000 people have downloaded Red Alert, the Red Alert app. It's the unofficial smartphone app that uses real-time information from the Israeli Defense Forces and Homeland Command to give warning between 15 and 90 seconds when a rocket is fired into Israel from Gaza. It was developed during the 2012 Operation Pillar of Defense, and it allows users to select push alerts based on where they live, so they get real-time notices right to their cell phone. Now, those concerned about kidnapping, there's an app called SOS, which triggers a personal safety alert with a single white swipe, making it easier to raise the alarm when a phone call is not possible. So, like, if somebody's close to being kidnapped, like those three Israeli youth, they just make a single right swipe, and it sends out an SOS, and people can tell where they are.
I know somebody over here who has downloaded Red Alert onto his phone, so his phone goes off every time a rocket has been launched.
Really?
Yeah, you can hear it. He's a talk show host, and he's on the air, and all of a sudden he'll say, "Oh, you just heard another rocket's been launched.
Wow.
In Israel.
It didn't occur to me to download them in the U.S. Yeah, it would, of course it would work here.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So the and then the Red Alert app gives warnings of incoming rockets. There's also an app that helps Israelis find the nearest bomb shelter. Now, not all, you know, so they can push a button and it tells them if they got to get up. They've got 90 seconds to get to a bomb shelter. They go to this app. It shows them where the nearest bomb shelter
Amazing.
Is and how to get there. Now, the a Palestine-made iPhone app promotes the third Intifada, which is Arabic for uprising. The Palestinians against Israel was reportedly removed by Apple because it was deemed offensive.
Huh.
So they, so Apple removed a Palestinian app. Now on Twitter, the IDF, that'd be the Israeli Defense Force, has a Twitter account that's got 350,000 followers, and it provides a constant stream of official statements and update about IDF activity. The military wing of Hamas has similar accounts in different languages, including an English feed with more than 11,000 followers. The accounts are suspended sometimes, but new ones keep popping up to take their place. Eyewitness pictures are often shared by activists under the hashtag hashtag Gaza under attack or hashtag pray for Gaza. Now, YouTube propaganda videos, both Israel and Palestine have uploaded polished videos to YouTube as part of their social media war. IDF has an official YouTube channel that includes a clip from a spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner, explaining Israel's military position on civilian targets, as well as military footage of attacks on Hamas targets. Hamas has roots its own slick propaganda videos, including a clip boasting its homemade rocket arsenal. The clips are similar to those created by ISIS, the Al-Qaeda-linked terror group that remains rampant in Iraq. And they lean heavily on music, which appeals to young supporters. I'll tell you, the internet is becoming a social media place for recruiting for all of these terrorist organizations.
Mm-hmm.
In blogs, Facebook, Google+, a group of Israeli students have convened a propaganda war room to promote Israel's case under a website called Israel Under Fire. Pictures are shared extensively by the Palestinian Interior Ministry on his website and by Hamas on its Google+ account. Hamas has deployed drones for the first time, according to Israel. The first was intercepted by the dome defense system and hacking. You'd expect this. The Free Syrian Army hacked the IDF Twitter account earlier this month, reporting false claims. Hackers also reportedly took control of the Facebook account of Domino Pizza in Israel. Now, I don't know, why would they want to take over the Domino Pizza site?
Strange.
Earlier this month, and they published warnings in English, Arabic, and Hebrew. I guess they wanted to put warnings out. So you can see this whole social media is becoming the new warfare, and I think the U.S. is going to have to become far more active in that domain.
It'll be interesting to talk about in an upcoming show is the technology behind the Iron Dome defense system.
Well, yeah,
I think a lot of people
would
like to know what that's all about because we've all heard about it, but we don't know how it works.
That's a very good. I'll put that on the list.
Very good. It is Saturday morning, and you are listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. More of Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology, and I want to talk about cloud computing.
Okay.
Everybody talks about cloud computing. It's this amorphous thing that somehow is out there, and I think many people talk about it, but they don't really know exactly what it is. And so what I thought I would do is go through the official definition that NIST has given. That's the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Just go through the elements of cloud technology. And there are really three pieces to that. They've got the deployment model, the service model, and the essential characteristics. Let's do the service model first.
Mm-hmm.
The key with cloud technology, it's actually has three elements. You've got software as a service, where you can basically sign up for the software, and you get it as a service without any kind of human intervention. So there's a way to measure your use of the software, allow for you to sign up for the software. You pay for the use of the software as you use it. So you could sign up for software as a service, say, with an Oracle database, and you just pay for as much time and as many cycles as you use, and then they bill you. So they have to have the infrastructure to support software as a service, and it has to be able to dynamically scale. So all of a sudden, if you go from one user today to 10,000 users tomorrow, the software has to be able to dynamically adjust to that load. That's the first thing it has. The second thing it has would be platform as a service. So what's a platform? Okay, the software is installed on a server, like a Windows machine or a Linux machine. So the Windows machine is really the platform. If you don't have the platform, you can't install the software.
Mm-hmm.
So you need platform as a service. So all of a sudden, the software says, "Hey, I've got 10,000 users. I'm going to have to be on 20 servers in order to handle this load balancing." These platforms have got to be dynamically allocated and used. So that has to be available, and then they've got to find a way to bill for that. So you've got platform as a service, which is really quite important. And they can do this easily now because these are not separate servers. These are all virtual servers. So you've got one machine, which is a huge amount of RAM, and one machine might have, 100 or 200 virtual servers. And so you can allocate more and more virtual servers. Now, the last thing that you need to have in cloud computing is infrastructure as a service. Now, infrastructure means you've got storage, you've got networks, you've got firewalls, you've got domain name lookup services, you've got other fundamental computing resources that are needed to be able to connect the platform and the software to the internet. So if all of a sudden you're going to have to deploy a whole bunch of servers to meet a demand, you might have some servers in California, some servers here, and they've got to all be able to connect to the internet through firewalls, and all that infrastructure must be dynamically allocated on demand, and there's got to be a way to bill for it. So those are the three things that cloud computing has. So it's just not being on the internet. You've got to be able to bill for it as a service. You've got to have infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, or software as a service. Those are the essential elements, and then those are the service models. And of course, the essential characteristics I've already talked about: on-demand service. You need broadband access. You need resource pooling using virtualization. You need rapid elasticity, where you can get scale it bigger or smaller depending on the elements. And you got to have a measured service. You can measure what you're giving. So if you've got those essential characteristics, and you've got the three service models that I've talked about, they can be deployed as either a private cloud or a public cloud. You've got then cloud computing. Now, for those of you that would like to see that, this is actually, it's on the internet. It's the NIST publication called The Definition of Cloud Computing. It's publication 800-145. And now when people talk about cloud computing, you actually know what it is.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Internet of Things. You've heard about this. Everything's getting hooked to the Internet now. Refrigerators are hooked to the Internet. Cars are being hooked to the Internet. Thermostats are being hooked to the Internet. Carbon dioxide sensors are being... Everything's being... Your toaster's being hooked to the Internet. So this Internet of Things, it could be potentially harmful because it turns out they're not really building much security into this Internet of Things. So you got all this stuff in your house that people could hack into. So HP looked at 10 of the most popular Internet of Thing devices. Now, they call these IoT devices, Internet of Thing devices, IoT devices. And they found 250 potential security vulnerabilities in these IoT devices. Now, these devices came from the manufacturers of TVs, of webcams, home thermostats, remote power outlets, sprinkler controls, hubs for controlling multiple devices, door locks, home alarms, scales, garage door openers. I mean, you see the problem. Somebody hacks your door locks,
yeah.
They unlock your house.
Yeah, exactly.
They hack into your garage door opener, they open the garage. So all these devices included remote smartphone applications, which were used to control them. They found that 90% of the devices collected personal information, 70% of them transmitted that data on an unencrypted network, 60% had insecure user interfaces, 8 out of 10 failed to require a strong enough password. The report said that it is vital that these devices were made more secure before Internet of Things grows to the 26 billion devices that are expected to be online by 2020. So it's just the more we depend on the Internet, the more we have to be mindful that security can be an issue.
Indeed. This is Saturday morning, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. More Tech Talk coming up right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Change your life. Put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Change your life. Take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
The party don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David Byrd.
Don't stop, make it pop.
So I guess that means you have a guest.
Did I miss the show?
Almost.
It's almost. You know, I brought in Google Glass again, Dave.
That good, that's
you know,
good stuff.
You know, you are a YouTube hero.
Yes. Yeah, you actually uploaded a video last week, unbeknownst to you.
Unbeknownst to me.
The video, while you were playing with the Google Glass, trying to get it to work, you uploaded it to YouTube.
Wow. Did I mean to do that?
I don't know. Then I got a message congratulating me for my first upload to YouTube from Glass.
Wow.
And so there we went. It's a good thing that we were just on the up and up in this show and there was nothing, you know.
Nothing.
That it was no pants
nothing,
Saturday.
Nothing kinky on that YouTube.
Speaking of no pants, you guys are dressed like it's August. Oh, that's right. It is August.
It is August.
I'm freezing.
I know. It's 12
I'm freezing my bongos.
Okay, here's the thing. I decided I'm going to wear, it's August, I'm going to put on shorts. I walked out of the house this morning and it was freezing.
Freezing.
Yeah, and
freezing.
I said, should I go in and change? And I said, no, I'm committed.
And I'm in dressing.
I'm committed.
Wrong.
I'm gonna go in shorts.
I got it all wrong. You guys tuck your shirts into your shorts?
No,
really?
I don't.
What's that all about? Really?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, Doc. Well, you have a certain CEO.
Well,
when you get to a certain pay grade,
how about you tuck in Hawaiian shirts into your jeans? Don't you?
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or he doesn't own Hawaiian shirts.
He doesn't own any Hawaiian shirts.
No.
Have I missed any big stuff? Big, huge?
Nothing.
No, we were talking about secure socket layer.
Oh, by the way, I checked the 7-Eleven this morning. And that drone is for sale for $53.
Wow.
That must be one high-quality drone.
High-quality.
It must be a high-quality drone.
It looks like one of those models you got.
I'm thinking Jim should get that drone for you know, the traffic reports.
After your $1,200 deal, everything else is just like trash compared to that.
Well,
that's nice. That's
right.
Nice. Very nice. Have I missed any new equipment? iPhone 6?
No.
Is that real?
We were talking off the air about that.
I don't know what's real. I think it's coming out this fall.
And who cares?
I'm just waiting for something.
I think it's their reaction to the Samsung big screen. I think they're
they're chasing Samsung with the big screen.
So basically, you got a mini pad in your pocket.
I mean,
the biggest thing on this is the bigger screen,
and then they're using. Then
what are you holding your Google Glass for while you're talking?
He's afraid you're going to steal them.
I'm not going to steal them.
Then they've got the sapphire screen.
How insulting!
Yeah.
he takes his Google Glass and moves it away.
Yeah. I'm going to hold, because he's afraid you're going to upload something inappropriate on YouTube.
I was afraid that David will come here and like upload some picture to YouTube.
Yeah, these hot shorts looks you guys
have. That's right.
Yeah, that's hot. Yeah, that's
so
hot.
the biggest thing is the sapphire screen, which you won't scratch. Mm-hmm. See, sapphire screens have been used on very expensive watches for years.
Mm.
Super high-end watches have had sapphire covers.
How much is this going to add to the cost of an iPhone?
Yeah, what's that?
Okay,
was it $400?
Okay, no,
$500.
I don't know how much they're going to charge. Google's cost, say for Gorilla Glass, the cost of their wholesale cost for the screen was $3. For Sapphire, their wholesale cost is $16.
Okay,
so it's adding $13 to the production price.
So it won't add hundreds of dollars to the end.
Well, hold it. $13 production price probably is $200 to your price.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably like an 8 to 1.
It's
like an 8 to 1 multiplier, Jim.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. Well, welcome to marketing.
That's right.
Come on.
That's the
story.
This is how people get rich.
No, if you can survive on $500 a month, does that mean your boss is going to pay you $500? No.
No.
You need more dough.
Exactly.
Something like that.
So the other thing, they're supposed to have near-field communication in this thing.
What does that mean?
Which is for these payment deals. You just put your phone close to the cash register and you make your payment.
Oh.
You know,
That sounds dangerous, too.
Yeah, I don't like that idea. Yeah.
So this is like, and so they're getting a lot of payment schemes set up on near-field. Yeah. And so you've got to be within 3 inches or 4 inches to do the transaction.
Okay.
So you just kind of get up there close, and then you can do the transaction.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes. So that is the, and they were hoping that near field communication will come out with iPhone 5, and everybody's disappointed that it wasn't there.
No.
So now it looks like it's going to come out with 6, and so we may see some standardization on payments. I mean, aren't you kind of fed up to having to take a credit card out and have them scan it? Wouldn't you just rather have them like scan your phone?
No.
No, I'm not comfortable with that.
Not after David was uploading YouTube videos by accident.
By accident.
Yeah, I don't think I need to be giving all of my money to 7-Eleven.
Thank goodness we weren't doing something spooky.
It could have been an absolute disaster, Dave.
Yeah, grass skirt.
It could have gone. Yeah, if we'd have been wearing our grass skirts that day, it would have been
grass
bad.
Skirt Saturday.
It would have gone viral.
Yeah, big time viral. Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad you got congratulations from the Glass people. The Glass people?
Yeah, no, YouTube congratulations.
Well, they're doing that just to stroke you to say,
now,
hey, do some more.
Now, you know all this net neutrality stuff. They've extended the comment period on net neutrality.
Oh, they have.
You know, the FCC has comments. You know how many comments they have so far on net neutrality?
I'm waiting, Doc. Tell me.
I know. This is very important.
This is huge.
1.1 million comments.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of keystrokes.
Okay. Now,
900,000 from me.
Now, here's the deal. There's only been one other time the FCC has gotten more comments on a comment period.
Right.
Can you guess what that might have been?
Janet Jackson.
You are right.
Thank you.
You are right.
Thank you.
Oh, what a genius you
are. The Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction.
How long did I wait? How long did I wait before I pulled the trigger on an answer?
Zero seconds. He gets the tickets this week.
He gets my ring, pal.
When it comes to Janet Jackson,
no,
you are all over it.
So to speak.
So to speak, right.
Oh.
Easy now.
If it's appropriate.
This is a kid's show. No, it's not a kid's show. No, it's not. It's an adult show.
But it's not that kind of an adult show.
No, it's not.
Stop
swimming. Just keep treading water.
Okay,
yeah, right.
Dave. The other big news is the Mars rover's been driving around Mars for a while.
For
They've
a while.
Now got a
got a mileage record. They're driving around Mars.
Oh, really? Oil they've change reached, already?
They've reached 25. They've driven 25 miles on Mars.
What's that, like $3 billion a mile? I mean, you know.
it could
no
be.
No hybrid?
Do they
no,
need an oil so, change you know, now?
Really?
So they've just been driving around looking. Yeah. But they've driven 25
what
miles.
What are they doing? Are they looking for things, or are we just checking
well,
out
no,
the
tires? Well, no. They went to the edge of this crater where they thought there would be some new things exposed. Some and then water. They kind of drilled down, and then, they're checking for moisture, looking for signs of life.
No Martians.
They haven't found any Martians yet.
Wow.
But they have found evidence of water.
Right.
And they're former water, and there could be some interstitial water.
Can you imagine this happening, Doc? They send back a picture of a Milky Way wrapper that was left there. And you go, how'd that get there?
Wait a minute.
How did a Milky Way wrapper get on the surface of Mars?
One of the Martian
somebody got here
people.
Before we did.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, Doc.
Yeah. So there you go. See that's a big.
That's huge.
They're really proud of this. It was only designed to drive like a mile or two, and it was only supposed to be operating for just like
I'm
a year.
I'm assuming it's an electric motor or something like that.
Yeah. It's got an electric motor charged with solar cells.
Oh, okay.
So that's
they
what,
can
that's
go what forever. They, that's it's a Prius, going. Is what it is.
That's nice.
It's a Prius.
It's a Prius.
No, it's a Tesla. It's a pure electric motor.
Pure electric motor. Yeah, get it right, Jumbo. Come on.
Sorry.
It's a Tesla.
That's what you get when I'm tucking your shorts.
Now here's the good news is the Russians had previously driven a rover around the moon.
And we know how well they build.
Yeah, right.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Until recently, they had the mileage record.
Oh,
see,
24.
24.2 miles.
There you go, Janet Jackson.
24.2 miles. Yeah. So NASA said we have got to beat the Russians.
Wow.
And when they got to 25 miles, they broke out the champagne.
Wow.
So there you go. So that's the other big news, Dave.
That's big news.
I know you're excited about that.
Huge news. I'm glad it came down.
I'm glad you did too.
I did not know that.
No. Now you got some fun stuff to talk about upstairs.
And that means I have to leave now.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Doc, it's your swan song, so I'm getting out of your way, sir.
Okay. Right.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Doc. Thank you so much.
I'm not the doctor. He's the doctor.
Yeah, I know. Go away. No time for break. We're just going to run out the clock here. If you would please talk about something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This guy had a Dropbox file. And he lost 8,000 personal records.
Jeez.
Now, he was co-founder and CTO of a photographic software platform called Virtual Rig Studio. He's been using Dropbox since 2009. He had 8,000 of his personal files. Most of these were pictures. And then he ran out of hard drive space. So then he got the idea. They have this feature where you can back it up on Dropbox, but then delete it from your hard drive. So I thought, well, I've run out of hard drive space. So I'm just gonna use that feature. So he clicked the photographs he wanted to delete from his hard drive, and then he said, and then the rest will just and what he didn't check will be left on his hard drive, but everything will be backed up to the Dropbox folder. So he clicked on that thing, and then Dropbox locked up.
Great.
And then he closed it. And then he opened it, and he said, okay, this thing must have transferred up there. And Dropbox deleted all the files from his hard drive, but it actually also deleted them from the main server
this
when it locked
good.
Up. So he didn't actually realize that he had lost 8,000 files. He thought they were safe. So then a couple of months later, he went to try to find them, and he discovered they were missing. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that Dropbox will only keep your deleted files for 60 days, and then they're gone.
Gone.
8,000 images. So the key is you've got to keep it backed up in two places. He had it one place. He deleted one place. He should have had it on a hard drive. So bad backup. This is Dan Chern. Bad news. Listen, the show is over. We love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. Make certain to go to the Stratford University webpage, which, of course, would be stratford.edu, and let them know that you heard about them on Tech Talk Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio on the air at 1500. 900 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Press Conference USA.